I'm Dr. Brian Goldman, host of the CBC podcast, The Dose. Each week, we answer vital health questions that will help you thrive, like, what does my mental health have to do with my gut? How can I prevent melanoma? How much sleep do I really need? And how can I manage my health without a family doctor? I chat with the top experts to bring you the latest evidence in plain language, all in about 20 minutes. Find The Dose on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hi, I'm Ian Hanna-Mansing. Welcome to Checkup's Ask Me Anything podcast. And today, that means you're about to hear our AMA about the solar eclipse.
The sun and the moon crossing the sky in a total eclipse.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime profound event that you want to be a part of.
Now, I've seen 6 total solar eclipses. My husband and I go around the world. My first eclipse lasted 59 seconds, and I was in Papua New Guinea. So, you know, we go far for these things.
Make sure you have proper eyewear. You know, but if you don't have eclipse glasses, there are other ways you can do that. You can also make a pinhole camera.
Monday, April 8th, the day of a total or partial solar eclipse for many Canadians as the moon glided in front of the sun, briefly darkening the sky. If you're wondering what makes this one different, well, it's the numbers. More than 31 million people worldwide living in the path of totality, 3 times as many people as the last eclipse in 2017. And all of that is the focus of this week's Ask Me Anything. Our AMA guest is Andrew Fizakis. You may know him online as the Night Sky Guy. He's also the author of The Backyard Guide to the Night Sky by National Geographic. Andrew answered some questions about the solar eclipse. Here are a few highlights from the show. Andrew, thank you very much for joining us.
That's great to be here.
So you witnessed that 2017 solar eclipse, and we're asking people to share their stories about eclipse experiences. What's yours?
Oh my gosh. Well, it was a family affair. I had my 2 young daughters who were 7 and 8 at the time, convinced my wife, let's make a trip down to South Carolina where the path of totality was going through in 2017 August. And we picked a spot just north of Charleston, a really great beach area. Even convinced my friends from Germany, no space nerds there, but I convinced them to come on down. This is going to be like, a spectacular show in the sky. You're not going to want to miss. And so, okay, they said, yeah, they'll come. So it was a huge caravan. We went down and we staked out our spot on the beach early in the morning. It was an afternoon eclipse, just like this one that's going to happen on Monday. And early, like 6 o'clock, we were on the beach, everything looking great. The sun was rising while we were there. And then as the hour or two passed, the clouds started rolling in. And I go, oh no. And it got thicker and it just lasted. It just hung, just an overcast gray sky. I'm on the beach, you know, it's warm, it's August, so that's good. But, you know, they're asking me like, okay, so when is this going to start? And, you know, I'm getting really nervous because, and my friend, I convinced him to fly all the way over here with his family. And then 15 minutes before totality, the clouds broke up. I have no idea. It's like a Hollywood moment. It really was. And, I was on the beach with thousands of other people, obviously making this trek to that same spot. And then just the clouds opened up and we saw that beautiful view of the moon just, it looked like a thin crescent moon, the shape of the sun at the point of time where we started seeing it. And then just closed up, we saw very things that were anticipated effects on the sun, what are called like the Bailey's beads, the diamond effect, all related to the terrain of the moon, which is absolutely amazing. That's a whole other topic right there. But everything was unfolding as I had expected it, as I had read so much about. And the crowd around me just roared. It was like a rock concert. People were hollering and whistling all on the beat, like thousands and thousands of people. And people were even crying. I saw my wife. I looked over at my wife and she had tears in her eyes. It's just like, it's such a magical moment. Never to be forgotten. My friends were so happy they made it. They said it was everything that I had built it to be. Thankfully, that was a big thing, a lot of pressure off. But it was an incredible experience. And so I'm so excited that we're going to get another one here in North America. And this one's even gotten more of a billing. And we're expecting more people to be able to see this eclipse than any in history.
Doug Tate is in Kingston, Ontario. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Ian.
Are you excited about tomorrow?
Absolutely. I just wish it was today. It's not a cloud in the sky, and that may not be the case tomorrow, but still looking forward to it.
Yeah. So what's your question for Andrew?
Okay. Well, I've sort of been following the information on the use of the glasses in the totality range, and when the moon totally obstructs the sun for a period of about 3 minutes, is it possible to take the glasses off when that occurs? Or because I've seen some conflicting information on that.
Yeah, Doug, thank you very much for calling. A little bit of problem with the phone connection, so let me. Go to Andrew now. This is really, really important. And I know there's been a lot of media coverage on it, but I think we should make it absolutely clear. Well, Andrew, what should people be doing with their glasses during the eclipse?
So this is absolutely important to really properly and safely enjoy this entire event. And you have to remember, this is like a 3-hour event. So for those that are in the path of totality, right, where the entire disk of the sun is completely covered by the moon for those precious few moments. It could be 30 seconds up 3.5 minutes, depending on where you are geographically. But at those moments of totality, you can take your glasses off. Every other time, as long as you can see a sliver of the sun, you should keep your glasses on, those safe solar eclipse glasses. And that's sort of all the partial phases. But for those moments of totality, you can take your glasses off. Because in fact, through these eclipse glasses, there's nothing else that should be visible other than the little orange disk of the sun that you could see through there. No lamps should be visible, nothing except just the sun. It blocks out about 99.998% of the solar rays. And it just leaves enough behind that gets through the Mylar filter of these eclipse glasses that allows you to enjoy safely and you can stare at the sun. And with that said, Ian, I have to point out that on any old day, you shouldn't be ever staring at the sun with the unaided eye. You can burn a hole in your retina of your eye. You can cause temporary or perhaps permanent blindness. And it's what we're particularly concerned about in terms of eclipse time, partial eclipse time, is that people have a tendency to stare at the eclipse that's unfolding before them because of all the hoopla around it. Everyone's so anticipating such a show, they're really wanting to try to look. And so if you start staring at the sun for extended periods of time, that's when it becomes dangerous for your eyesight. So you can comfortably stare at it with eclipse glasses. That's very important.
Enid Comars is our next caller from Scarborough, Ontario. And Enid, this is going to be your fifth eclipse tomorrow? Wow.
Well, my fifth total eclipse. There was an annular eclipse in Toronto in 1994, I think, which counts, but it doesn't. So yes, this will be my fifth eclipse. I've been clouded out of two, one in China and one in Oregon. And I've seen two total eclipses, one off the coast of Aruba and one in Wyoming. They were both perfect.
I take it this is no coincidence. You chase eclipses.
Yeah, I'm an amateur astronomer. I volunteer at the David Dunlop Observatory in Toronto. Yeah, it's not a coincidence.
And is it worth it, the two that you saw without cloud cover?
They're extraordinary. The emotional feeling and the light from the corona. But my story is the first eclipse I saw, a total eclipse, off the island of Aruba. Mm. I was on an eclipse cruise, and we were the last ship parked in a row of ships that had come down to the center line to view the eclipse. And so we're sitting there, and you know, the sky is getting darker, and we could see the line of shadows coming across the ocean. And as it hit each of the ships, for the first ones, their deck lights came on, which was really visually attractive, but not to the people, I think, on the boats. Eventually, the captains figured it out, kind of turned them off on the later boats. And then we saw Venus pop out and Jupiter. I think that eclipse had four planets around the sky. But as the totality became closer to our ship and the sky got really dark, there was a pod of dolphins that came up on the side of the ship, and I swear they were checking out the change of light. Mm. And so you have this magical light change. You have the dolphins popping up. You have the planets popping up. I think that was like a 3 or 4 minute eclipse. It was just one of the most extraordinary and emotional experiences I've ever had in my life.
Wow. So you were in Scarborough, Ontario, not in the path of totality. What's your plan for tomorrow?
I am heading down to Welland. I booked my friend's daughter's place about 4 years ago. And we're going down.
Yeah.
So yes, but we're not too far from the path of totality. There's the weather forecast isn't great, but I'll take my chances, because even if it is clouded over, you still get the change in the light and you still get the darkness, and you know, you've got to take a chance, right?
Yeah. So before I let you go, tell me about that. I think you said there were two eclipses that you went to that where the conditions were cloudy. What were those experiences like?
Well, the one in Oregon, the sky was actually clear, and we were parked at the edge of a farmer's field. And we at that time, I had a telescope with a solar filter on it. So right, we saw right up to the partial phases, but right as it came to totality, a cigar-shaped cloud just literally came over the sun. It was like if we'd stayed at the motel, we would have seen the eclipse. Mm. And the other one that was clouded out was China, and that was in 2007, and that was a 7-minute eclipse. And it was one of the broadest paths, I think, for eclipses, with the maximum number of people who were visible, and that was clouded out as well.
Hmm.
We saw some of the partial phases, but we were at the edge of a lake, and as it got dark, you could see the lights coming on around the lake, and mm-hmm. you know, it was still a cool experience, but I did get to see China.
All right, well, enjoy the experience in Welland, Ontario tomorrow, Enid. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great afternoon.
Hey, my name's Jamie Poisson, and I'm the host of Front Burner. It's the CBC's daily news podcast. And every day, we're discussing the big events and fault lines shaping Canada and the world. Politics, economics, social movements, you name it. Sometimes we even talk about really fun stuff, like the enduring relevance of Lord of the Rings. You can hear Front Burner on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mark Smith has a question via text for Andrew. Here's what Mark writes. I've experienced several eclipses in my life, and I recall them all happening while the sun was very high in the sky. As amazing as any eclipse is to witness, I think it might be even more dramatic if the eclipse were to happen near sunrise or sunset. And so, Andrew, the question for Mark Smith is, does this happen anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, I'm trying to remember which year, just a few short years ago here in Montreal, like maybe 3 years, it was during the pandemic, I think it was, we had a sunrise solar eclipse, a partial solar eclipse that we saw here in Montreal. And I literally went to the edge of the St. Lawrence River with the city of Montreal in the background on the other side of the river, and watched the partially eclipsed crescent sun rise. How special is that?
Mm.
I mean, it is, as the texter was saying, it is truly magical.
Karen Webster is in Barrie, Ontario. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
How are you?
We're great, thank you. So I'm on my way, actually, from Sudbury to Toronto area, mm-hmm. Burlington area, but we've pulled off in Barrie.
Oh, okay.
Traveling with my almost 98-year-old mom to see this event, because she remembers seeing it as a child in Nova Scotia. doesn't think it was a full eclipse, but said that it became very, very dark, so perhaps close to totality, in perhaps, she thinks, 1932 or 1935, and remembers that the birds were really, really upset. They weren't singing. They were squawking, and the darkness really upset the animal life and bird life.
That's a fairly long drive from Sudbury to Burlington. So obviously your mom is interested in seeing this again. What are you hoping to see tomorrow?
Well, obviously, hopefully with a clear enough sky that we'll be close enough to be in the path of, or as close as possible to the path of totality, not venturing as far as Niagara Falls for reasons of traffic, but really just wanted my mom to have this experience again.
Yeah.
Because she's spoken so often in my lifetime about that memory.
Yeah, that is terrific. And I'm trying to remember, I'm pretty sure Hamilton's in the path of totality, right? So have you looked? I think Burlington probably is too. Yeah.
It is, yes. We were discussing whether I have two brothers living there, so whether we stay in their driveway or whether we try and get a little closer to the lake, we're not quite sure yet. I think that it's, my brother tells me it will be a little clearer or a little complete in the right way down by the water, but whether we tackle the traffic for that event, I'm not sure. Otherwise, we will be right on the edge is my understanding.
All right, Karen. Well, I hope you and your mom have a great experience tomorrow watching the eclipse.
Yeah, enjoying your show. We're listening. Thank you.
Andrew, you were mentioning that trying to find out actually finding out when the next solar eclipse will be is as easy as doing a Google search. When you've done that search, are there any that come to mind as you think to yourself, yeah, you know what, I want to go to Iceland in 3 or 4 years. So what are you thinking?
Well, very interesting. In about a year, almost exactly a year from now, on March 29th, 2025, Eastern Canada, Atlantic Canada, will have a nice deep partial eclipse of the sun.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just looked it up, and it's really nice. From Montreal, just as an example, it's about almost 60% coverage of the sun. From Nova Scotia, we'll have about 85% coverage.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be really impressive to see. Again, you know, you keep those glasses handy because in a year, you'll be able to experience that. Now, there is going to be another total eclipse visible in Canada in 2044. So in 20 years, it'll go through Alberta into the Northwest Territories, a beautiful run, almost north-south, goes even into Montana and North Dakota and the south of the border. And then the next great American eclipse that's being built is going to run through Northern California down to South Florida the following year. And on August 23rd, 2045 is the next really super amazing total eclipse. So a bit of a wait.
Yeah. You know, when I saw those numbers about the next total eclipses, I found it, you know, a little disappointing because it's so many years from now. I didn't realize the partial eclipse, particularly the one in Atlantic Canada. You know, I'm from New Brunswick, and I kind of wish I had gone back to New Brunswick for tomorrow. I just couldn't work it out. But you know what? What did you say? March 29th of next year?
March 29th of next year.
I am literally writing that down.
Yeah, it looks like it's a sunrise, like just after sunset. So it'll be low in the, it's like, depending on where you are geographically, about like 7 o'clock, 7:15 in the morning. You can imagine with that sunrise, this is a great photo op with a crescent, a very thin crescent sun.
Okay, that's fantastic. I'm so excited about that, as I have been by all the stuff I've heard on this Ask Me Anything. Literally 30 seconds left, Andrew, so let me know. You don't have to travel the world. You can just step outside tomorrow. In 30 seconds, what are your plans tomorrow?
My plans are to huddle around with my close family. I'm going to have my parents, my in-laws, my children with my wife. We're going to be looking at it together, and it's going to be a moment that we are never going to forget. It's so special. It's a celestial moment. And I recommend that for others, is to be with other people to enjoy this and soak it in. It's a very short time, a few hours for the entire thing to unfold. And the moment of totality will go by in a flash. So take advantage.
It's been great having you as a guest, and I'm excited, even though I'm stuck way out here in Vancouver. Andrew, thank you very much.
So great to be here. I wish everyone clear skies.
Andrew Fizakis is known as the Night Sky Guy. He's also the author of The Backyard Guide to the Night Sky by National Geographic. And we reached him in what will be the path of totality. He is in Montreal. That was a portion of Cross Country Checkup's AMA about the solar eclipse with Andrew Fizakis. He is a science writer and author. If you'd like to listen to the full 2-hour edition of Cross Country Checkup, you can stream the podcast on the CBC Listen app. If you'd like to share comments or appear on a future show, go to cbc.ca/aircheck. I'm Ian Hanamansi. Thanks for listening. The next live edition of Checkup airs on CBC Radio, CBC News Network, and CBC News Explore next Sunday.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.